Hi, this is Erin Helmreich, teen and IT production librarian at the Ann Arbor District Library. We're really excited about this podcast with Bruce Craig, professor and historian and author of the book Man Bites Dog, Hot Dog Culture in America. We'll learn about the difference between local hot dogs between Flint and Detroit and all over the country. All right, so I want to get started with, I'm really sorry that Patty Carroll, your photographer for your book, couldn't make it today. Yeah. But can you just talk a bit about the book itself and how you got working with Patty, and if you've known her a long time or if you just kind of came to fruition with this project?
Yeah. Well, the book is called Man Bites Dog, Hot Dog Culture in America. And we've been friends for 20 years at least. So, because I've been working on hot dogs for that long. Well, not continuously, but intermittently. And Patty's been photographing hot dog stands. So it came about this way. I was 25, almost 30 years ago now. I gave a paper at a conference at Oxford University on food taboos. And in this case, it was why we don't eat our pets. Westerners don't eat dogs.
Yeah.
And we have an aversion to it. So I gave a paper at this conference, and it created a huge uproar in England. You know how pet lovers
they are. Yes.
So it was in all the newspapers, and I had death threats.
Oh, for,
no, seriously. It was ridiculous. It was a paper at an academic conference. And so everybody at the conference is the Oxford Symposium on Food and Cookery. So everybody thought this was great, and because that's the English sense of humor. And, of course, they played it up. So,
yeah.
You know, this guy wants to come eat your dog.
Right.
So the next, I mean, you're this academic from Chicago. Anyway, the next year the conference was on public dining.
Okay.
And they said, would you please come back and give another paper? So I thought, well, you know, dogs. And it just struck me, hot dogs. And I hadn't been working on them before, but I've been doing food history for some time, since the about 1980. I evolved into that from other things. And so I began looking into it, and I realized that there's a close connection between hot dogs and eating your dog. In fact, that's where the word comes from.
Okay.
It's a joke. It's a joke word, meaning what's the mystery meat in your sausage?
Okay.
So, and then I found out that it's really so central, hot dogs, to American culture and American popular culture. And so many American ideas that I've been working on it ever since and looking at the byways and other things. So Patty, about the same time, was in one of those gloomy Chicago days that we have in winter, those eternal winters. It's like a vampire movie or something.
And this was a pretty particularly long, rough one here too.
And she was driving down the street, and she saw a bright orange hot dog stand just sticking out of the mist. And she photographs everything. So she photographed it. And then she began thinking about this, about hot dog stands. And the thing about Chicago is we have more hot dog stands than any other place in the country. And I don't mean carts. I mean stands. And the reason is because of local laws that do not permit streetcars. They're just getting to it now.
Okay.
As they become popular in the United States.
Yeah, can you tell us a little bit more about what the difference is between a cart and a stand of hot dogs?
Yeah, carts are mobile devices. And in New York, for example, there are some 3,000 food carts.
And they usually have an umbrella and a big metal
Correct.
On wheels.
Correct. And there are lots of, and now there are food trucks, which is another category.
Right.
But stands are actually fixed locations. And again, that's because of Chicago laws. So these are highly decorated.
Okay.
And the art is vernacular. And that's, Patty's been working on this for a long time. And her sensibility is about popular culture is brightly colored, deeply saturated stuff. I mean, she's written books, for example, on American lawns.
Oh, wow. Okay.
She wrote a book on Elvis impersonators.
I saw that on her bio.
Yeah. So that's the kind of thing she's interested in. So hot dog stands, of course, these completely funky stands are just her sensibility. And so I was giving a talk in Chicago. A mutual friend of ours who had a hot dog stand asked me to come and give a talk at a meeting. I forgot what it was even. And so I gave this talk, and Patty said, Patty was there, and she said, have you seen my photographs? And I said, well, I think so, because they're at the Chicago History Museum.
Okay.
They're on display. So I said, maybe. And she said, well, here, have a look at these. My eyes popped open. I said, my God, these illustrate exactly what I've been saying. And she said to me, well, what you've been saying exactly explains my pictures.
Right, yeah.
So we've been planning to do this for years.
Okay.
And I've spoken about hot dogs all over the world, everywhere. And I always use hers pictures. Once upon a time, they were slides.
Okay.
Now they're all digital and PowerPoint. So we finally, after a lot of wrangling with publishers, we finally got this book published.
Okay. Well, with that in mind, because I was reading about the book, since you seem to have an affinity more for like smaller, you know, single locations, I noticed that your first hot dog was at Nathan's and wondered how you felt now that they've gotten real big and sell their hot dogs in grocery stores all over, and it's a little different than when they started.
Yeah. My first hot dog was, I'm from New York.
Okay.
I grew up in New Jersey, but I was a little teeny kid. It was right after World War II, and I was on Coney Island. My grandmother lived there and nearby, and it was when Coney Island was still flourishing, when the Steeplechase, one of the great institutions in American pop culture, was there. It was I can picture it now, and there I was, this little kid, and I can feel the salt air, the hot sun, in its crowd of adults. And the guy reaches down and gives me a hot dog with mustard on it. I can taste it to this moment. So that was one of the great seminal moments in my life. You know, people have memories like this of some singular thing.
Absolutely, yeah.
And particularly around food and the ambience and the smell of it as well. So all that, of course, goes into food. So, and I've always liked small stands. In fact, when I was a kid, I actually started a small stand with a friend, and I was in high school with friends of mine. We just decided we would do it.
Okay.
Got this little joint and cleaned it up just for a summer. And it was an adventure, I have to say.
Yeah.
I learned a lot. Namely, not to open a restaurant.
Right.
But anyway, these represent more American ideas than it seems to me the corporate ones, like McDonald's and such. I mean, McDonald's, you know, started off as a single place, the McDonald brothers in San Bernardino, and it was their unique vision of having a drive up,
right?
And with car hops and such, and then Ray Kroc took it over and then made it a large corporation. He just had a vision of what America was becoming, a massive corporate state. So those, and his idea was to have a hamburger uniform from coast to coast. Wherever you went, it would be the same because you knew what you were getting. Because if you're traveling around the country before that, you didn't know what you were going to get or where it was, and you needed guides. And we had guides.
Right.
Duncan Hines and others. But so that was his idea. And it's economy of scale. It was cheaper to produce this massive amount of things. And McDonald's has changed a lot over the years, like everybody else. But still, the logo, the building itself looks similar. So you're not going to be out of place wherever you are.
Right.
That's the idea of Americans. It's a real 1950s idea, I have to say.
Yeah.
And if you want to know about that, I would watch some of the movies from the 50s, particularly Invasion of the Body Snatchers. That's what it's about. And if you don't know what that is, go look at the original one.
Yeah, no, I think I've seen the bad remake and the original years ago.
The original is Don Siegel. Wonderful movie.
Yeah.
But that's what that's about. We're all becoming zombies, you know, like, and in the same thing, same place. And hot dog stands, individual ones, are the antithesis of that. Here they've taken the individual owners, an industrial product, and that's what a hot dog is, and they've personalized it. And their stand is personal. And that stand expresses their ideas, the ideas of the community they come from, their aspirations. And that's what's so interesting about it, and that's why I like the little guys.
Absolutely. Well, you've mentioned a little bit about your academic background, and you're an emeritus at Roosevelt College in Chicago.
Yeah.
And you're an adjunct right now at Kendall College as well.
Yes, I've given that up though because I was. Kendall College is a culinary school. It was a college, but they had culinary school, and they wanted to develop a Bachelor of Culinary Arts program, like CIA does and other schools, and they asked me to come along. The dean is a friend of mine, and said, would you come along and develop this? So we did, and then I have so many writing commitments that I can't do it anymore.
So. Well, within your academic world, have you ever managed to put hot dogs into that? Have you, with classes or with
Always.
Students? Yeah.
Yeah. I'll tell you a story. I did a series of programs for PBS. They're called Hidden Journeys. And these are studies of food and culture in other parts of the world, particularly at village level. And you can still get them there.
Did you do one on hot dogs? Because there was a PBS special I feel I saw.
Yeah.
That was about.
Well, I've been on several of those.
Yeah, okay.
But this isn't that. This is a series. And it was, you know, mini anthropologies. And we got to do those for PBS National. And they're still in the catalog. You can get them. Just look for Hidden Journeys programs. And the reason, the way I got to do that was I was teaching a food history class. And it was written up by the food editor of the Chicago Tribune, who happened to be a friend of mine because her daughter was in my class. So we're old friends.
Yeah.
And she wrote this up that I'm doing this class and that the last class was going to be on hot dogs, on sausages.
Okay.
So the executive vice president of PBS in Chicago is a foodie. She read this.
Okay.
She calls me up and says, I'd like to come over to your class. I'd like to go eat some hot dogs.
Yeah.
I said, okay. So she came over. And then after the class, she said to me, some guy has walked into our building and said he is in contact with the Chinese government. They want to do a program in China on Chinese food.
Wow.
How would you like to go do that? So I said, what, me? Me? Would I like to go do that? Are you joking? This is in 1992.
Mm-hmm.
We did the program. And then we did a whole bunch of them, half dozen of
them.
And so hot dogs has had a salutary.
Absolutely.
So it's worked its way into all sorts of things.
Do you take any sides between New York or Chicago and their hot dogs?
Well, they're different entities.
Okay.
So I like New York hot dogs. They're flat griddled, natural casing, ideally. I prefer old beef, but that's neither here nor there. But on the whole, I prefer Chicago.
Okay.
There's a reason New York hot dogs taste good. They're like Detroit Coney's.
Right.
In the sense that they're flat griddle on a flat sheet. And the reason is because the Detroit guys came from New York.
Okay. Well, maybe you know. Nobody here has ever figured out why the Greek salads in Detroit have beets in them. And apparently I've read extensively that there aren't beets in other Greek salads, you know, in New York or other places.
No, I don't know. It might be from the sugar beet industry in Michigan.
Which is very true, yeah.
I would think, which has now moved off to the Dakotas.
Right.
In Minnesota. But still, that could be it.
Interesting.
Because the Greeks and Italians who came here, you know, around 1900, late 19th century, early 20th century, were in the business that they knew best, which was fresh fruits and vegetables. And which is, by the way, how come the Chicago style is the way it is.
Right.
And they fought it out for control of the markets between the two of them.
Okay.
And so whatever they had in the market, they put on in their salads and on their hot dogs.
Interesting. Okay. That makes sense.
So Detroit Coney's have this this relationship to New York. And when it's flat griddled, the proteins are cooked. So it's called the Maillard effect. And it's why it smells good to you and why it tastes good. It's like browning meat. It's the same thing. So, but the Chicago ones aren't there. I mean, some of them are. Grilled. Some places grill them. But by and large, they're hot water bathed dogs. In New York, they're called, the street carts are called dirty water dogs. And I prefer those. Natural casing, preferably. Because I think you taste more of the sausage in it in combination with the other Chicago ingredients. So there's a kind of combination of textures and flavors that you don't find in other
hot dogs. That's why there's more produce on those burgers or those hot dogs, literally, is because you want to put a tomato and the other things on there.
Yeah, it's added value. And this is what small entrepreneurs do. They just make it look, and everybody does it. You know, you're in competition with your neighbors, so you do it. So once you do it, everybody does it.
Right.
And that's how styles are born. Somebody just decides, and then everybody says, oh, this is our style.
Well, with that in mind, I mean, I know how I feel about it. I am a pro-mustard person.
Yeah.
Is it ever acceptable to put ketchup on a hot dog anywhere?
If you're under the age of 5.
Yeah, okay. That's usually been my exception. It's just for children.
Yeah, it is.
Or adults with child taste buds.
Yeah. Well, in Chicago, it's anathema. You're kicked out of the city if you put...
No, I mean, I've told friends, I'm like, you need to be real careful about that. I mean, because, of course, Coney dogs here, you do, well, some people may put ketchup on them, but
why?
You only put mustard on them. So.
Yeah, why? Because the sauce has got tomato in it anyway.
Right.
And it's a lot better. I, you know, actually, of the Coneys, I like the Flint ones better.
Okay.
The dry sauces.
Oh,
because,
okay.
Because I think, although I like the ones in Detroit, namely at American and Lafayette,
mm-hmm.
we shot there and okay. talked to everybody. So they yeah. were, it was a very neat place. And Patty has some wonderful photos.
I bet. Yeah, those are fun places.
But that's a wet sauce. And Flint is called dry. And it's made with beef hearts. And it has a distinctly liverish flavor, seems to me, which makes it unusual.
Yeah, that is different.
And the hot dogs are made by Kogel, they pronounce it, and Capital in Detroit. You know, they're different.
Right.
So I think, you know, Coneys have different styles.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and actually, when you see the word Coney, there are Coneys in Tulsa, Oklahoma. There are Coneys in Omaha, Nebraska. There are Coneys in Oklahoma City. Coneys. And the reason is because guys came from Detroit.
Really?
Yep. Wherever you see the word Coney, it's from Detroit. Which came via New York State.
Yeah, very interesting.
And in Upper New York State, Coneys are called Michigans.
Wow, that is interesting. I don't think I have ever heard that.
Yeah, they are. As you go up toward Canada,
that's
know, New York
funny.
State. Yeah, really. So Coney, yeah, these guys made something.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's really, so. Do you have, aside from Chicago, are there any other regional hot dogs? You know, in any other city or area that you find that are particularly unusual or indicative of maybe another interesting story of people migrating there or...
Right. Well, in the South, they have slaw dogs. Coleslaw is really pan-colonial, American colonial food. You know, it's a Dutch word. It just means cabbage.
Mm-hmm.
So cold cabbage. And but it became coleslaw. And somehow it's identified with the South.
Interesting.
And so you'll find slaw dogs in West Virginia, which is their specialty, and all the way down through Georgia and other places. Georgia has a very famous hot dog stand, Varsity,
okay,
which is one of the most famous in the country, the biggest anywhere.
Oh, wow.
You must go. It's like it's a zoo in there, particularly when Georgia plays Georgia Tech there in Atlanta, because it's right there on the Georgia Tech campus.
Oh, it is. I have a friend that works at Georgia Tech.
Yeah,
I need to ask her.
They'll know Varsity. Everybody
okay.
knows Varsity. So anyway, and they serve a chili dog too, but slaw dogs in the South are like the thing. And they can be very good. I like slaw dogs a lot. But I'm not so keen on the hot dogs themselves. They're more pork generally. This being the South, there is a regional taste. A recent one would be the Sonoran hot dog.
And
that one came from the streets of Sonora into Arizona, mm-hmm. right across the border, as starting in Tucson.
Yeah, I've eaten one. I've been because I have a good friend that lives in Tucson, and I actually was thinking about that. Oh. So interesting that there's a history there.
Elguero Canelo.
Yeah,
that's the place, right? That's the guy who invented it,
okay.
Daniel Contreras. He just brought it up from, and then everybody's just done it. Now they're, I can't tell you how many, there must be 50 stands in Tucson.
Wow.
And they spread all over the place.
Okay.
Into California, where they're called danger dogs. And the reason is because you put bacon on there, if it's not cooked through, it's dangerous. So in L.A., they've made people chop up the bacon and cook it first, among other things. But anyway, it's a bacon-wrapped dog, which is old American, but somehow new now in And it's served with everything you would put on a burrito.
Okay.
And a burrito is not a Mexican dish. It's a North American mixed dish. But you put everything on there, beans and melted cheese.
Okay.
And it's loaded up with stuff. They're quite good. If you get a plain one, which I much recommend, then it's served with a gyro chili. It's a mild... yellowish chili, small one, which they grill. Every place does this. They open grill them, and they also grill green onions, just like they do in Mexico.
Okay.
And you eat that on the side with your hot dog. That's great. And if they make a good salsa for it, perfect.
That sounds awesome.
That is awesome. Forget the bacon.
Next trip. So is there any particular surprising thing about history and the culture of hot dogs that, you know, people that aren't a connoisseur would be really surprised to learn in the history?
Well, the name hot dog itself, again, it's a joke name. There are jokes that go back to at least the 1840s and probably much earlier. In fact, in Europe, they're much older than that. Jokes about dogs and cats disappearing from the streets and going into the sausage grinder. The same kind of jokes you found when Southeast Asian restaurants opened in.
Yes.
And before that, Chinese restaurant.
Yep.
In short, anything that you're unfamiliar with, then you make jokes about what might be in there. So it's the same with sausages. Germans came about 1850,
right,
and they made sausages. So that joke lasted a long time. But the exact combination of hot and dog, hot is an older word, and red hot is used actually for sausages a few years earlier, at least the earliest I found. But hot dogs, the earliest evidence we have is 1892. In Paterson, New Jersey,
okay,
where the name hot dog appears in a newspaper article in the winter. And so it was obviously used before that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and once that word is coined and it gets into college humor magazines, very soon thereafter, it spreads around the country. Within 5 years, it's used from coast to coast.
Wow.
By 1897, newspapers like the Kansas City Star, the San Francisco newspapers, not the Chronicle, but the other papers, are using the word hot dog. It's amazing how fast it spread, because the joke is so good. And the iconography, all the cartoons that are drawn about them, all show dogs being ground up or put, you know, or dogs disappearing and really. So getting back to the original, don't eat your dogs.
Yes. Well, I guess with that sort of gruesome thought in mind, I remember I had a teacher in high school who had years ago worked at a pickle and relish factory, and she one of the stories we all remember is her telling us about how relish, at least at that time, was usually whatever was left on the bottom of the barrel, which could also be mice and insects and things like that. Is the relish world, how does relish fit in with hot dogs?
Well, there are two things to say about that. One is hot dogs, when they became mass-produced from the big meat manufacturers, I don't mean artisanal, made by German sausage makers who were making them before and still make them. In fact, there are a lot of small places that still make them. And medium-sized companies who still, and those places, by the way, almost always hire German sausage makers. That's the center for Germany and Switzerland for sausage production. Their manuals are the ones used.
Wow, okay.
And you should read these manuals. They're really interesting, because you can't tell the difference among maybe these 200 kinds of sausages.
Yeah.
You can't tell the difference. They don't.
Wow.
So anyway, that's different from the mass-produced ones, and produced by Armour, Swift, Hammond, Wilson, and all these other big companies in Chicago. And that is literally the stuff at the bottom of the floor.
Okay.
After the processing, these factories are built horizontally. Cattle came in at the top, are killed, and then they're broken down level by level. Really. Henry Ford saw this. And he got the idea. This appears to be a true story. He got the idea of the production line from watching going to the Swift factory.
Wow.
And so at the bottom, that's where the sausage making was.
Okay.
Because think of what's in it. It's made of animal, the casing's an animal gut.
Right.
And then it's everything else. And it could be off the floor. I can tell you, yes, it's off the floor. I've seen it off the floor, and but lots of friends who, anyway. they try not to. So the thing is that the mass-produced, really dirt-cheap ones, and they still are made from the leftovers. Again, the cheapest ones, if you go to your supermarket and look at a package, it says mechanically separated meat. What that is the leftovers of chicken after the trimmings, after the meat is taken off, they're put into a suction device and everything is sucked off it, ground up into a slurry, and that's what mechanically separated.
Okay.
And this, so, I mean, it's not bad for you, it's just it's the leftovers. And that's the what the original ones were. Secondly, the USDA allows certain number of insect and rodent parts in your food, because you can't keep it out. Just go to the website,
right,
USDA, and you'll see.
Yeah.
It's estimated that Americans eat about 1/2 pound of insects a year.
Okay. Well, apparently really? We're supposed to be eating insects as protein like they do around the world anyway, right?
Absolutely.
Those pupa and worms and crickets and...
I have done so.
Have and you? With a hot dog or without?
No, without. And I'm going to do a book on this. I've been engaged to write a book on this. So I'm very keen on eating insects.
Absolutely. Well, yeah. I mean, it is a huge protein source for the rest of the world.
Yeah, yeah. It is. And actually, they're quite good if you go to Mexican markets.
Well, I remember seeing a tapas video once about them eating tadpoles in Spain. Yeah. And momentarily it grossed me out. And then I thought, well, how is that any different than shrimp or any other small little critter that you're eating?
You know, this is a subject I've talked about lots of places. And people always say, and in classes, and students say, oh, insects. I said, do you eat a lobster?
Yeah.
Right? Well,
yeah, they're just bugs of the ocean.
Yeah, and they're bottom feeders.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. Well, let's finish up with one last question. I know you've been on a lot of TV shows and done lots of different interviews all over the world. Is there a particular question that you get asked so much, or a question that you wish that somebody would ask you about hot dogs that we haven't asked?
Well, people can ask technical questions about how it's made, but I won't go into that because it's actually kind of gross. But I mean, for most people, people ask me, "What's the most unusual thing you know about?" I'm asked this all the time, and I would say that going to a hot dog stand, observing that everybody's happy. I see you're nodding because you know exactly what I mean. You walk into a hot dog stand, and no matter what, people are smiling.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what it is. Well, I have an idea what it is, because you're eating with fellow eaters of all levels, all social levels, and you're eating communally. It's like being at a ball game.
Right.
And everybody's eating together, and you know you're cheerful and jolly. You're in the open. You're with your fellows, and I think. Compatriots, and I think that's part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Also, hot dogs taste good. Mm-hmm. People like them, and they're told that it's fun food, and I think that's part of it. Also, we are. I hate to say this, creatures of command. What we're told, but that's why there are commercials in the world. That's why the program Mad Men exists.
Right.
We're told what's good and what's cultural. Hey, your parents tell you this. Our culture tells you this.
Mm-hmm.
So we're told hot dogs are fun. Hot dogs are enjoyable. Go and be jolly. And people are. It's unbelievable. I don't care how gloomy the counter person is.
That's true.
And sometimes they are, right? What do you want? But everybody there is smiling. And if you talk, you can talk to people. You just go there and say, what do you think? Everybody starts talking to each other instantly. You know, other places you don't.
Well, there's a similar dynamic with, you know, us being a football town with tailgating. I mean, just the idea, too, I think everyone's just happy grilling, and most of the time they're grilling hot dogs or other kinds of cased stuff. We are fortunate. I don't know how long you're going to be here tomorrow, but if you're heading right out on the early train, we do have a really great small artisan sausage and hot dog place in town called Beer Camp. Who does, I don't know how you feel about, they do a lot of, you know, standard hot dogs. They do lamb hot dogs. They do some with jalapeno and cheddar. But they do a lot of flavored bratwurst. I mean, when I say flavored, you know, with asparagus and onions and good cheese and stuff like that inside. So
that's interesting.
We are lucky to have them. And they do grill outside. And I'd say most people that are at that place are happy.
Yeah.
Everyone's happy. They sell bacon and all those good meats. So
that's interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I have only one other thing to say about your football. If you ever beat Ohio State, that would be pretty good. I know that's a rare occurrence. I'm sorry I said that.
That's all right.
One of my sons went to Michigan, so Eddie suffers a lot.
I bet. So was there anything else you wanted to finish off? What can we expect about tonight's event? I know we're going to be selling the book. People ask questions. Is there anything in particular they should
look for? No, I'm just going to show lots of these great photos.
Wonderful.
And talk about many other aspects of American culture and pop culture. And I might even sing a song, but I doubt it. I will certainly recite the lyrics. And it's just a preview. Oh, where is my little dog gone?
Okay.
And then I'll tell you the real meaning of that song. but go to our website, www.manbitesdogbook.com. And people can comment. We've got lots of photos there and a lot of other stuff. And please comment. I'd like to know what people think When I'm on radio elsewhere, people call in all the time. Oh, you said that wrong. Oh, that. Do you know about that place? And I learned a lot. I've learned a lot talking to all around the country on radio programs, honestly.
Yeah, I bet.
About this, that, and the other.
Well, awesome.